just keep killing corners.
You keep killing corners till they coronate Andrew Breitbart's coroner.
Right.
I just had to start recording. We're just sounding good.
Columns that will make unfinished buildings 1,250 feet tall. That's just high enough to peek over the roof of the observation
when you record,
deck of the
can
Empire
they hear
State
that,
Building.
The LRN
Lisa
feed over
Lucera,
us?
Fox News Radio.
Yeah. It's recording, but if I have it unmuted, which I just unmuted it on my end.
I'll unmute too.
Hello, this is with the Onion Radio News expired 2 minutes ago. A brief extension has been added to my contract to allow me to say goodbye to you, my faceless listeners. I've been reading the news out loud on the air for a very long time now, and the words to describe my feelings are difficult to find. Steve, what are you doing? This is my big moment.
I'm getting the word now that you have to leave the studio right now.
This kind of happens in the Onion movie. You ever seen the Onion movie?
Well,
Is that the one you were talking about on the cast?
Bye, everyone.
No.
Episodes ago? No.
Never talked about it.
I didn't know there was a movie.
I'm just coming back for my hat.
It's a good movie.
No, it's my hat. I just need it and I'll go. There's no need to get pushy. Moose! Rocco, I thought we were friends.
Moose and Rocco.
Freedom Fiends.
Hey, everybody. Freedom Fiends Live. The call-in show for the Freedom Fiends. Call us at 307-215-5171. I'm Nima Vedati, and across the country from me is Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Michael?
Yo.
Yo. No reverb that time, huh?
Yo. Yo. My assistant was out. The reverb was there. My assistant was snorting some Jankum in the bathroom. He's back.
Wow.
Yeah, I pay him in naughty nurses. I was telling you about a naughty nursie before the show. It's a sex act I made the name up for that.
Did you make the act up too?
Probably, but I know of other people who've come up with it simultaneously. It's
can we mention it on the air?
I don't know, man.
You can't say that and tease our listeners.
I mean, it makes felching sound vanilla and Mormon.
How does it make Santorum sound?
Plain and boring and normal. Christian.
Yeah. I think you could say what it is. You can give us a hint.
If I describe it in medical terms, it's a naughty nursie is the act. It's usually solo. Can be done with a partner, but it's usually okay, I like any sex description that comes with. Well, it's usually done solo, but you know, you can have someone else there, but it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
It's when you're
partner optional.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of drugs and you're sitting on the toilet dressed in lingerie. Usually a man dressed in lingerie and high heels, and he's doing
man lingerie, like a leather thong with metal straps.
Well, yeah, you can do it. Well, yeah, you know, gay men probably would, but straight men who only become gay when they do a lot of amphetamines probably would want to. anyway, you'd you're sitting on the toilet.
We're just trying to get rid of all our listeners now. That's
you're
the strategy.
You'd be sitting on the toilet in your lingerie. With an enema, but the enema is like you haven't hit the you haven't turned it on yet, so the hot water isn't flowing yet. But you don't you time it. It's kind of a weird thing. You kind of need three hands to do it, but you can do it with two hands. You kind of wait until you let the water start flowing, the warm water in the enema, and then you. But no, first you have a syringe in your arm full of methamphetamine, and you release the syringe of methamphetamine into your arm, release the tourniquet, then you release the enema bag, and then you take the needle out and take the tourniquet off.
Sounds like quite a rush.
Yeah.
News anyway. You can use, Freedom Fiends.
News you can what, DJ? She said we're losing listeners left and right. You know, I should have been looking at this. I can read the stats of the listeners while – should have been checking them while we're doing that. Anyway, on to – let's see, some news here. What do you got? You got a good freedom fix?
I got a few. First thing, but right off the bat, I wanted to say I do have a question for Bad Quaker. So, Ben Stone, if you're listening, go ahead and give us a call because there is something I wanted to ask you. And I don't want to ask you without having you there to answer it. As far as news goes, Let's see here. There's just a ton of stuff. Whoa. Well, in Salt Lake City, apparently
there was a guy. We have more users than average right now, more listeners.
Oh, there you go. I guess enemas and methamphetamine really brings the crowds in.
It turned out all the central scrutinizer bots, all the government bots went boing.
We hit all the right spots for the government bots.
Yeah, we hit the spots.
That's racist. The government
bots. So talk about the Utah. Well, the government is a separate species, so saying bad things about it is beyond racist. It's specious.
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 Such a specious claim.
Yes.
Yes, but at any rate, this was I guess what we thought was a freedom fix. There was a guy went into a grocery store in Salt Lake. According to ABC4, their video, it was at a Smith's. So I don't know if any of you live out in the West and know what Smith's is, but I used to grow up and go to Smith's when I was a kid living in Salt Lake.
I used to and grow guy up. Went,
I used to grow up way back in the day. Well, when I was growing up, I used to go to Smith's. And apparently a guy just went into Smith's with a knife, started stabbing people, like just pulled out a knife and randomly putting it into people's stomachs and stuff. And a citizen, just an average Joe, carries a gun on him, you know, like me and Michael do every day, just had to pull the gun, just had to pull his gun out and say, hey, stop stabbing people, basically. The guy dropped his weapon and was caught by police. So police didn't actually catch him. It was the guy who made him stop stabbing people. I could see a situation where police were there and they'd probably be, you know, waiting outside, cowering in the bushes, waiting for the SWAT team to come and their sniper. And I could see more people getting stabbed in a situation like that. Luckily, there was a very honest citizen there to put a stop to this before people died, because apparently nobody died. People were hurt, but it could have been a lot worse than it was.
There have been a couple situations in the past couple years in countries where, you know, it's a death penalty to be caught owning a gun. Japan, I think it's life in prison or something there, but it's, you know, citizens don't own guns in Japan. There was some guy
who's just such a horrible thing to think. I was reading something L. Neil Smith wrote. It wasn't a piece of fiction. It was like a preface to, I think, maybe the probability brooch. And he said, you know, liberals and neocons who'd rather see a woman raped in an alley tied up with her own pantyhose than see that same woman carrying a gun.
Yeah. And they wouldn't like that description of it either. But
but it's true. I mean, that's
I wrote a song called Gun Control Gets Women Raped that basically illustrates that same thing. Not as.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there was in Japan, some guy, deranged man, went into like a kindergarten and just started stabbing children and teachers and stabbed a lot of them. I mean, it was like a shooting spree, but with a gun, because there was no one around with a gun and they had to wait for the cops. And the guy stabbed, you know, 20 or 25 kids and a few adults.
Wow. I'm assuming they probably died in that situation because there was nobody there to stop it.
Yeah. I am surprised how few items there are like this news item. This one really makes me happy that, you know, citizen carrying a gun stopped a massacre. First of all, you don't hear about them much in the paper. You won't hear this on most national news. Fox might mention it in passing, but, you know, you won't hear this on national.
Well, here's
ABC.
The thing. There's a chilling effect in a good way in most locations where you have a society or a group of people that can carry guns. So in a place like Utah, where you can easily get a concealed carry permit, it puts a chilling effect on people who would go into places and do a stabbing spree.
I don't know
or
about
other
that.
Kind of violent acts.
I don't know about that. I think people that would go stab a bunch of people aren't really concerned with getting away with it. I really do. I think that they're lunatics and not thinking clearly. I think that the anti-chilling effect is more people may go get guns and get gun training because of this story. I mean, it did get covered on ABC, Salt Lake City. You know, if you were still working for ABC, you could certainly cover this in your town, couldn't you? Because it would come up on the ABC wire. And isn't anything fair game that comes up on the ABC wire?
Well, there's that. Plus, this is huge. I mean, the local people dug this out. It wasn't a wire story. You know, you get calls coming from Smith saying, hey, there's a bunch of police here, or hey, you know, somebody got stabbed. You're going to send out your reporters and probably set up a live shot. I mean, something like this, it doesn't matter your, you know, editorial bias. Something like this you have to cover no matter what.
Yeah, but this won't get covered. Oh, you would. So if you were still working at ABC in Wyoming, you'd be covering this?
Oh, of course. Well, not this. If it happened in Wyoming, I would.
Oh, I'm talking about nationally. I'm talking about nationally. I'm looking at the national news now. When did this come out? Today? Two days ago.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I searched the headline. Policelink.com has it, which is like Police One. It's a police site, and there's cops saying, good for him. Current.com covered it. This is kind of surprising. It's like, isn't Current.com Al Gore's website? I think it is.
I don't know.
Yeah. Huh. This is getting a little more news than I thought it would, but it's not on, and it's on a bunch of gun blogs. But other than that, it's not on
CNN
or even Fox. It's not. You know, they'll cover, you know, fireman rescues puppy from well, but they're not going to cover this.
Right, right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're saying the national people won't pick up something like this off the wire necessarily.
Right. But I look for stuff like this, like on the internet even. And there actually used to be a site that covered all of it, but the guy stopped updating it. It was called The Armed Citizen or something like that. And there, no, there, The Armed Citizen is a thing in the NRA magazine. It's actually the only reason I still read the NRA magazine they send to me that I don't ask for, because it has a page of stuff like this. But it's usually people in their homes. You know, it's rarely guy behaving, you know, stopping
somebody
a
out in public.
Yeah.
Right, right. All right, Freedom Fiends, give us a call. That number is 307-215-5171. We'll be back at the end of this break.
Worms. We got to give that out. We got to give that out every at the top of every break, especially at the top of the show.
Yep, yep. Every time we hear the music, we should say it.
Freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters.
See, what do we got? A 4-minute break.
We should say it when we come back in.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty lover.
I need an assistant. Hey, assistant. My assistant's in the bathroom doing naughty nurses and
Jankum. You didn't give your assistant enough Jankum. She's crashing now. You got to go wake her up again.
All right. Dear Michael, I enjoyed listening to your interview with Stefan Molyneux and the discussion about BDSM. Recently, I was listening to Red Ice Radio interview with Stefan, link here, in which Stefan speaks about the non-aggression principle and spanking children. He then includes an exception about spanking among consenting adults being okay. And he kind of chuckles embarrassedly. I don't know if he's embarrassed, but he does go. she said, I think Stefan included that exception as a result of your conversation. Bravo, Michael. Take care, Lisa. It's not your mother.
There you go.
It's not your mother, by the way. It's a different
list. I hope it's not my mother talking about BDSM. But speaking of my mom, it is her birthday. So happy birthday, Ma, if you're listening. I'll give you a call later. I wasn't joking. It's really her birthday. I love you, Ma.
Yay. We'll get her some toasted sispa for dinner for her birthday.
Delicious. Would you like some sispa as well?
I'd love some sispa. I'm enjoying a tall, cool sispa here.
Right, right. Well, the kitchen's out of sopa and pipa, so we'll give you some sispa.
What is sispa? You've piqued my interest.
In case you didn't pick up on the silly puns, sispa is, some people call it the son of sopa. And if you recall a few episodes back, the son of sopa. Yeah, something like Summer of Sam.
Son of Sam. Or just, you know, a movie about a monster that's a sequel. Son of sopa.
And that's pretty much what it is. And we had talked a bit ago, I think it was Lindsey Graham or one of those uber statist politicians was bragging about how, hey, you know, it doesn't matter that everybody complained about SOPA and PIPA because we're going to put all that bad stuff in a new counter cybersecurity bill. Not counterterrorism, but a cybersecurity bill. And so here we have it. We have the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. Doesn't that just make you feel all warm and safe?
No.
Don't you love giving away your freedoms for a little security blanket administered by the government? No. Well, most people don't, and so it's a very silly thing, and hopefully there'll be enough pushback. I think – and here's what I worry about is, you know, the problem is people – they wage these campaigns against something like SOPA and PIPA, and then it doesn't pass, and everybody sort of sits and rests on their laurels, and they go back to watching Dancing with the Stars. And then the government, you know, they just slip all the bad stuff into another bill and pass it.
Or they go back to stumping for Obama and trying to get him elected. I mean, think about the average person that is an activist on the internet. I bet there's a lot of overlap between people who are out actively trying to reelect Obama right now and people who are actively trying to stop bills like this from passing.
Yeah, yeah. I would definitely say that. And, you know, I would think of the usual suspects. I mean, I haven't researched this, but I would think places like MoveOn.org, stuff like that, probably did, you know, send out things and petitions against SOPA and PIPA. And now that supposedly we have this Republican nominee sewed up with Romney, I bet a lot of them are putting their attention in towards, you know, saying we need our glorious leader Obama back so that we kill, you know, a certain other group of people that Romney wouldn't kill, or vice versa.
Tim Berners-Lee, inventor of the World Wide Web, expressed opposition to the bill, saying it's threatening the rights of the people in America and effectively rights everywhere, because what happens in America tends to happen all over the world. We will export our idea of limited democracy.
Export our ideas of tyranny, which we've done for years. I mean, that's nothing new. And when, you know, politicians say something like, you know, spreading the American way and democracy, what they usually tend to spread is the worst stuff. You know, they support dictators, especially the drug war. I mean, why is every country on the planet have the same or similar draconian drug laws? I know there are exceptions like Portugal and stuff like that, but even there, it's just decriminalized. They still have those things as being prohibited on the books.
I don't know that those were exported by force. I've looked into that a little bit, and I think in a lot of countries, they were exported because cops were going, the American cops have better tools and better toys and ability to do stuff we can't do. We want to do that too.
Right. So tyranny envy instead of penis envy.
So cops in countries where it's legal to kick in a door and torture a confession out of somebody are saying, we don't have enough leeway. We need to do what the Americans are doing to get more leeway.
Yeah. 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 I bet there's a bit of that going on. Definitely. But there are cases where we do export it by force, you know, especially in Latin America, you know, things like Mexico, Colombia, where we actually had, you know, CIA people flying in, you know, basically invading countries, arming people, arming certain groups. I mean, think about Afghanistan, where soldiers are out there guarding poppy fields, basically.
You know, this is interesting. I'm looking at the vote, the House vote count. Republicans like CISPA a lot more than Democrats. Democrats, that's kind of surprising to me, because lately it's kind of been like down the middle with tyranny bills.
Yeah. Well, what do you think is the biggest threat to the Republican establishment, I believe, at least in their minds, is the internet? Because they are scared of things like the Ron Paul movement. And I mean,
and the Santorum Google thing, Google bomb.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I mean, it was even Mark Rubio in his speech where he's trying to basically be the VP and be super hawkish and take the mantle of Everhawk from Lieberman. He was basically saying, you know, he was saying when he goes home to his district, people are saying, hey, you know, our houses are getting foreclosed on. We've got all this debt. Maybe, you know, starting new wars or keeping the wars we have isn't the best idea. And Rubio's saying, no. We got to just have more wars.
I just realized why. You're right. And I like the word. Was it Everhawk? Did you make that up?
Everhawk. Yeah.
That's awesome. That should be the name of a title in Congress. Everhawk.
Everhawk. There you go.
No, you know, I just realized it. The Democrats aren't being cool. The Democrats are courting the youth vote for their president. If Obama gets a second term, they're going to put in son of CISPA, and the Democrats will almost unanimously vote for, you know, putting a little webcam in your computer room that the government can watch, and making that the law if you want to be on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Republican establishment doesn't even care about the youth vote anymore. They know it's sewed up to Paul. There's no way people below 40 go for wars in a police state. That's just not what happens.
I know. Although there are people like Romney's like, well, how can I court the Ron Paul vote? And I'm like, you can't. He's actually said that. He's like, well, I like Ron. You know, what do you like about Ron Paul? They asked him in an interview, in a debate. And he said his resonance with the youth.
Yeah.
Good luck, man.
The youth like Ron Paul because he's the opposite of Romney. So unless Romney completely changes who he is, which I wouldn't put it past him.
SurvivalGearBags.com is run by someone who believes in and adheres to the non-aggression.
It's the Freedom Fiends live. What to do, homies? Give us a call. 307-215-5171. That number again, 307-215-5171. What to do, Michael?
You running for Everhawk there?
I'm running for Everhawk, yes.
I really
bomb
like that
bomb all the things. Bomb all the things.
What's that from? That's funny. Bomb all the things.
There's some, what is it? No, there's a blog called Hyperbole and a Half that's like goofy pictures, and it's pretty funny, and she's got this thing where she's trying to clean the house, and she's like, clean all the things! It's a meme. Yeah.
So talk about your new Vaporsmith product.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those USB pass-through things. Basically, I plug it into the USB cord, and I can vape all the nicotine I want. It's like my computer is downloading nicotine to my lung drive via USB.
I know. And it gives you a stronger hit. It kind of like, to me, psychologically reinforces the umbilicalness of being on the internet all day, of being on the computer all day.
right.
It's giving me, it's not only giving you your porn for your naughty nursey, it's also giving you your nicotine.
Right. My stimulant. Yeah, there you go.
You could say it reminds me of that
Futurama episode where Bender was jacking on.
Plug himself
into electricity.
Yeah, and it's then like, he went to the what was the church that saved his soul from addiction?
Oh, I forgot, but it was pretty funny. It was a robotic preacher. He was like, "What are you doing, Bender?" And Bender's like, "Your mama."
I know. And classic when they pray, Bender. Their prayer goes 0010110101.
Yeah,
a room full of robots doing that. Yeah, I don't like Al Gore much, but I really like that show. Even though Al Gore's on it sometimes, I still like it.
Ah, yeah. Well, his daughter is one of the staff writers, right? Kristen Gore?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I could get my daddy to do a cameo.
Yeah, true dat. I wonder why Romney hasn't been on shows lately. He seems like a good actor. He acts like he cares about things.
I think he's a bad actor in the term of what is it? Isn't that what they call like bad
like
guys?
Like Iran?
Yeah, bad actor.
Yeah. They call evil dictators that. So yeah, Romney's a bad actor. He's not a good actor.
Yeah.
Well, remember, I have a thing. Do you remember when we were talking about, I don't remember which cast it was, you brought up the idea that the government thinks free speech is just a loophole that they want closed.
Right.
And I saw a story recently that really hit that home. It was by Gary North. And the headline is that a paleo nutrition blogger will go to jail if he does not recant. And basically what had happened is there's a blogger, I guess he used to have diabetes, and instead of following his doctor's orders, he decided to just not follow the government food pyramid. And so he put it up. It was just his personal experience, and he had disclaimers saying, you know, I'm not a doctor, I don't have medical training, I'm not a nutritionist, but this is my personal life experience. If you would like to be interested in this, you can read all about it. It was successful for me, so it may be successful for you. But the local officials, and I think this was in I want to say Tennessee, maybe. Let me skim through this.
If they could do that, go ahead and finish telling it, and then I'll tell my thought.
Ah, no, it looks like it might have been Carolina. But at any case, some state officials stepped in and said, hey, this is nutritional advice. You're not a licensed nutritionist. You have to recant these things. You have to take this website down or else you'll be charged and we will, you know, impose penalties on you. Of course, if he resists then and refuses to pay and keeps the site up, they could obviously try to close his site down or just take him away. And so basically because he doesn't have this license, which I always say licensing is basically how they control people. Anytime you have to get a license to do something, the state has the power to prevent you from doing it the way they want to do. And so here, even though he doesn't really need a license, you know, in any kind of rational sense, because he's talking about nutrition, they're saying, well, you're not a licensed nutritionist. You can't talk about this stuff. You know, what happens when they say we're not, licensed whatever, and they say freedom fiends can't talk about stuff?
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that, too. And we talk about economist stuff, and we're not licensed economists.
Well, luckily, you don't need a license to be an economist yet. But
well, you do in a way. I mean, for instance, on a smaller level, an economist is usually someone with a PhD. But, you can You can't even do someone's taxes without a license, and that's a much smaller license and less training than a doctorate.
Yeah, that's very true. And the establishment does use things like PhDs and doctorates and all postgraduate degrees as a way to control the discourse. because obviously you have to have a board of the people who are already well established in the field, people who are basically tied to the status quo. You know, they don't look too kindly on things that say, hey, the system is wrong, we need to change it, because that stops their gravy train. Then they don't want people to challenge their dissertation from 30, 40 years ago, because
here's
that's
my
what
thought.
They wrote.
Here's my thought. Alcoholics Anonymous could not have happened and saved millions of lives if this bill or if this ability of the police had been in place, because AA was basically medical advice, or it was contrary to all medical advice at the time. They might have gotten away with it, though, because AA was started by two guys. It was a stockbroker and a doctor. He was a butt doctor, actually. He was a what do you call
proctologist.
It? Yeah. But, you know, a doctor with a specialty like that can still give medical advice in anything. It doesn't have to be in a specialty. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, because it was very contrary to the current medical beliefs of alcoholism. In the 30s, right. When it started, if you were an alcoholic, first of all, if you were a really bad alcoholic, they basically said, you're going to die. But they would try to treat you. And the way they tried to treat you was a combination of like atropine and confinement, you know, being put in restraints, and shock therapy, and that is not what AA involved. So
and yet they weren't you know, licensed psychiatrists, were they?
Right, they were not.
I mean, they weren't licensed to give out treatment,
right? In a way, they, you know, regardless of the fact that a doctor helped start it, I think that in this current climate, somebody would have shut it down. You know, they would have said, you're having public meetings and you're giving out advice and you're giving interviews and you're telling people what to do. It's so fucked, man. So fucked that they can do that now.
Yeah.
That they can take that away of someone coming up with something good.
And again, some people might say, I think Democrats or liberals or statists of any stripe might think, well, you know, that's just sort of the unintended consequences. We have to have referees. We have to have some kind of regulators. But I would posit that what regulators actually do, this is their intention. Their intention is to maintain the status quo. It's to keep the power brokers, the people who currently have the reins in power. It's to keep the discourse as it already
is. Well, yeah, look at that Michigan anti-hogs bill that's got – that. It's said that it has, you know, the licensed hog farmers, the people that have the near monopoly but not the full monopoly in that state,
right,
are behind
right,
it.
Right, right.
That's what
I'm
told.
Special interest using the government pressure to prevent competition, to prevent new people from getting into the market, and from preventing new ideas. You know, there was that recent outbreak of, or not, I guess it wasn't an outbreak, but mad cow disease was found in a dairy cow somewhere in California. And somebody, I forget who it was, but apparently, you know, back when mad cow first came out, you know, Japan stopped taking beef exports from America. And so there was a company that decided, hey, you know, to put their minds at ease, we'll test every single cow. The FDA doesn't do that. The FDA does spot tests. And the other beef producers were like, no, guys, we don't want you to do that, because that forces them to spend more resources. Because if one company does that, then they're going to be the only company that gets to sell beef to people, or at least the only company that people want to buy beef from. So the FDA says, no, you can't do that. We have to have a standardized rule here. But then, of course, the standard becomes a lowest common denominator type of standard, rather than it's trying to achieve the highest possible efficiency.
Worms.
So anytime you have any kind of government monopoly where they license things and people get to decide, you know, who what businesses get to do, then you have situations like this, to where you won't get better service, you won't get healthier meat. Instead, you'll have the people who are the big players getting what they want.
Freedom Fiends Live call-in number. You can call in now. Talk to us during the break, and we'll get you on. It's 307-215-5171. That's 307-215-5171. And that number is on our website on the live call-in show link at the top.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBay. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. That's freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there!
Would you like to advertise your product or service to a large built-in audience of liberty-loving consumers?
Now, we're back on Freedom Fiends Live. We got a phone number for you if you want to call in, chat with the fiends, talk back to the back talkers, as Michael likes to say. That number is 307-215-5171. Again, 307-215-5171. What's up, Michael?
What are the weight of those little tiny bars?
I'm not going to tell you, man, on air.
No one knows what we're talking about. No one knows what we're talking about.
I'll tell you in private.
All right.
You said, what are the weight of the bars? Everybody's going to know what we're talking about.
No, I just want to know what tiny weight of gold bars come in.
Well, there's bars that come in gram. Those are pretty small. I don't have any of those. I think mine are 10 gram. Well, not mine, but 10 gram bars are very
affordable. You have a friend who's... So anyway, Beavis and Butthead do America. I pulled up the clip and the towns they go to in Wyoming. Let's see. Well, they go to Benoit, Idaho, and Butte, and Peck, and Whippee. And then they go to Wyoming.
Metitzi
and Bald Knob. Big Piney. No, Bags, Wyoming, Big Piney, and Metitzi.
Did people not think as dirty back then, or did they think more dirty, and that's why they gave these names?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I say on Facebook that I live in Red Butte, Wyoming, which is like two towns over, but it looks like Red Butt, and it's a total Beavis and Butthead impulse on my part to want to have that as where I'm from.
Yeah, totally. Red Butt.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. Speaking of tiny towns in Wyoming, the reason we had thought about that is in Buffalo, there was a city councilman arrested for having, what was it, 2 ounces of pot? Something small, not something huge.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I guess the lesson in this is the reason he's getting charged with dealing other than, for one thing, he when first of all, he had 2 ounces of pot, but it was bagged up in quarter ounce bags. So it looked so I guess the moral of the story is if you are someone who has something that could be considered stronger penalties if it's for sale, it might make sense to not divide it up. But
I feel like they're going to get you either way, though. Yeah. If you've got 2 ounces in one bag, they'll say, well, it was in one big bag, so he's buying in bulk, so he can break it down later.
He also made the mistake of, when arrested, was allowed them to question him without an attorney and caved to their pressure and said, yeah, I was going to sell it. Never
talk
to police.
Which breaks rule number one, never talk to police. Listen to some freaking Ghetto Boys. I know you live in Buffalo, but there's got to be a Buffalo, cassette Wyoming. Store somewhere there.
I know you live in Metitzi, but yeah.
The other thing is, dude was 26 years old and a city councilman. Like, get a real job. What are you doing running for city council when you're 26?
I know. I have a feeling that the severity of what they're pressing him with may have to do with politics of, you know, someone doesn't like what he does on the city council in that town.
Yep. I wouldn't doubt it, especially in a small town like that. I bet if you have the right connections with the police department and decide to, you know, buy 2 ounces of pot or sell it to your friends or as gifts, you know, for your family.
Stocking stuffers.
Stocking stuffers, yeah, exactly. Then you could probably get away with it if you had the right connections. If you've been being a corrupt city councilman for 20 years, no problem.
But, well, yeah, I mean, do you think the sheriff's son was arrested with that, he'd be facing 10 years?
Oh, hell no. No.
Yeah, not in that time, but if it was a
sheriff's son or if it was a judge's son or a police chief's son, yeah.
It would probably
they're going to put it in evidence.
Yeah.
You think that who would disappear? The
charge, the the not even arrest, just the, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The fact they'd be like, come over to my house on Saturday night and we'll dispose of the evidence.
Together, yeah.
Yes.
We're not talking about anyone in particular in those towns. We are not slandering the good name of the movers and shakers and tax eaters of Buffalo, Wyoming. No, we're just saying in general, this is how things tend to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when you give people the power to, you know, to throw people in cages for having pot, then obviously you have situations where even those with the power, their relatives might do something like this, and they're not going to want to throw you in cages, which is why you shouldn't give individuals this kind of power.
I also think that constitutionally, I think that violates the Eighth Amendment. 10 years in prison for 2 ounces of weed, that's cruel and unusual punishment. It really is. It's like, you know, it's like giving someone 100 years in prison for stealing a candy bar, or not even, because, you know, yeah, the weed isn't even really a crime morally, but and stealing a candy bar is. But there's somebody who's actually in prison right now for having a debt of $280. Have you heard about that? There's a few states that will still throw you in debtor's prison, or will still throw you in prison for not paying your bills. And this was like a cancer survivor who was had all these bills from treating her cancer, and had one bill outstanding of $280, and someone at the hospital told her, oh, your insurance took care of that, you don't have to pay it. So she didn't pay it. And, you know, months later, sheriffs showed up at her door at 5 a.m. and arrested her.
Well, think about how ridiculous it is, in the sense that the person isn't going to be remitting that payment to the person they owe it to now. You don't create any wealth. You don't transfer the wealth from that person to the creditor, you know, from the debtor to the creditor. All you do is spend more government money, spend taxpayer money on the problem. So nothing really gets solved. Instead, you're spending $100, $200 a day to house her in a jail.
Here's a good headline.
Where's the benefit?
Here's a good headline. Poll says government favorability at 15-year low. And I was like,
yeah,
only 15 years? I mean, I think the government favorability hasn't been this low since the Civil War, or at least since the Vietnam War. But during the Vietnam War, there was a lot of hatred for the government, but it wasn't everybody. Now it's everybody. Even the people that love the government hate the government, you know, because they think they're doing it wrong. Congress has an approval rating of like 12% or something.
Yeah, and what was going on 15 years ago? I mean, it doesn't seem like people hated the government that bad 15 years ago. I mean, it was what, Bill Clinton in power?
Yeah,
the Republicans hated him, but Democrats thought everything was gravy.
Well, actually, Republicans didn't hate him then that much either, because the economy was booming, which the Republicans say was trickle down effect from stuff that Reagan did. But you know, people always like to take credit for the good and not for the bad. But yeah, 15 years ago, what year was that? I can't do math.
This 1997.
This early in the day.
It would have been 1997. So, and yeah, the whole time, well, I guess people didn't really care about it back then, but Clinton was bombing Iraq that whole time, like every few days.
Clinton bombed somebody to get the press off his dick, literally. Talk about that.
No, yeah, it was the day that he was, I think they were bringing up the articles of impeachment to, I don't know if it was the judiciary or something like that. Maybe it was the House. But it had to do with his impeachment. And yeah, he ordered bombing strikes on, I think it was Iraq, and maybe also some parts of Africa and Afghanistan. He just decided, well, might as well blow some shit up, you know, as long as I'm in this situation, get the attention off of me. You know, the media loves a good bombing.
I don't really believe this 15-year – I mean, I believe that government approval is at an all-time low, or at an almost all-time low. But I'm looking it up. Bill Clinton became president of the United States January 20th, 15 years ago. And before that, it was the end of George H.W. Bush's term. People didn't hate him. I mean, I guess some people did. But both those presidents were pretty popular. And I guess, you know what it was? That was – Clinton was the one that – didn't he have a fully Republican Congress that wouldn't let him do anything? Was that the case?
Yeah, they tried to do a shutdown. It was Newt Gingrich. He decided to shut down the Congress, and they shut it down for a few days. It was a big deal. Man, I just wish they would shut down the government. Like,
but you said it right.
Not as a political stunt, but like, hey, no more government, guys. Yay!
But you're right. They'd never turn off the bomb machines. They'd never quit busting people for drugs. You know, they wouldn't completely shut off the government. And they would
not greatly, willingly.
They would greatly scale down the so-called services and still keep taxing you. I'll bet you.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. They're going to hold on to that power as much as they can. You know, no matter how small the pie is. I mean, in poor countries, you see tons of tyranny too. You see more control in countries that are poor, and that's another chicken and egg kind of thing. Like, was it? You know, is it the tyranny that causes them to be poor? But no matter what situation you're in, the government's always going to be trying to control things and take a bigger cut of the pie than, well, obviously any cut of the pie they have, I think, is immoral and unwarranted.
Did you read this this headline? EPA's official philosophy on oil companies: crucify them just as the Romans crucified and conquered citizens.
No, I don't think I read about that. What was that?
That's somebody at the high up at the EPA said that's our policy with oil companies, which basically means they'd rather be over killing brown people in the other side of the world than having industry in America, in Wyoming. Wyoming could power the country, man. Between our oil, coal, uranium, and wind, we could power America if they just let it happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, or maybe some people in the government feel differently about that, because there's big business interests, too, that want to keep competition out but still have government funding.
Yeah.
What if the key to achieving liberty in your lifetime...
Back!
We're back.
What's back, Michael? I don't even know.
I'm wondering if the call-in is even working here. Why don't you give out the number and I'll check my cables and stuff.
If you want to call us, as long as it's not broken like Michael thinks it is, you can try at least. It's 307-215-5171. Give us a call. It's Freedom Fiends Live. Ah, I hear a call.
That's me.
Call.
I'm doing a test.
Oh.
Maybe
oh,
I didn't have testing. It up enough. Maybe people have been calling because I had it down
really
low.
Hello. Welcome to Skype.
If you tried calling, call. Talk about Obama slow jamming, and I'm going
to
check.
Welcome to Skype.
I know. It says leave a test recording. I'm always like, you dirty British filthy whorish robot. I am leaving my test. Talk about Obama slow jamming the news, man.
Slow jamming the news, baby. So I don't know if you fiends had ever seen this, but there's a show called Jimmy Fallon. The Jimmy Fallon Show, I guess, is it. I like Jimmy Fallon. He's a funny guy sometimes. And what really makes it noteworthy for me is The Roots is his house band. And so, like, you know, The Roots
Quest
are
love,
completely
yo.
Amazing. Questlove and, man, I just love The Roots. They're just awesome. And to have them as, like, a house band, to me, that's like... I don't know, having a really great band like the Rolling Stones be your house band. So just completely awesome. And usually it's a fun show to watch. And they have this bit that's also really funny called Slow Jam the News. And, you know, it'll be Jimmy Fallon and usually they'll get Brian Williams from NBC News to come on there, same network. And they'll, you know, play a nice funky R&B beat, you know, real sexy like. And they'll just talk about news items, but in, you know, slow R&B voice like, yeah, baby. Federal Reserve is going to keep interest rates real low. And usually it can be kind of status, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, baby, we're going to steal a bunch of government money at gunpoint to pay for your student loans or to keep you in debt.
Yeah, literally, they did that. They brought Obama, Barack Obama, the freaking president, with The Roots, which, okay, fine, you're in The Roots. I can see you saying, hey, cool, black president. Although I think Roots should know better by now. I mean, they're smart people. And they bring Barack Obama on there, and, you know, I couldn't watch the whole thing just because it made me sick, and it made me feel dirty in a bad way instead of, like, dirty, like the slow jam of the news is supposed to make you feel. And Obama's just sitting there saying, we're going to keep those loans, real low interest rates for you. We're going to keep subsidizing your school. You know, basically stuff like that and on, and I'm just thinking, yeah, behind it is them pointing guns at people, stealing more money. Like, that's not something you slow jam the news to. And even though he can get away with that, you know, that kind of makes some people feel all fluttery. You know, your liberals over there thinking, yeah, that makes me wet hearing about all these student loans. But I'm just thinking, you know, news came out that he's going to start bombing people with drones more and more in Yemen. What if he slow jammed that news? Yeah, baby, I'm going to incinerate your family with my drones. You like that? I'm going to make it so hot that your body ceases to exist.
Obama also went to a dive bar in Colorado Like, they had a picture of him with some college girl looking surprised that he was there. You know, they came in like 5 minutes before Secret Service came in and took away everybody's silverware. And then they had Obama come in and pose in this.
Took away everyone's silverware? Yes,
so he couldn't stab him. And then posed in this, posed with this hipster college chick in this room that was covered with graffiti on the back of the wall. And it went viral. I'm like, that picture didn't go viral. Obama's reelection committee made it go viral, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess it could go viral. I mean, there is a lot more statism in society than we like to admit. I mean, I like to imagine everybody's a fiend, but I don't think that's the case. So I'm calling people
who've called us before.
Oh, don't do that.
What?
It's poor decorum. Reminds me of when my dad used to have me call businesses at lunchtime and try to say, hey, we'll deliver some pizzas to you. And they're like, what? We're supposed to call you. What are you doing? Yeah, don't call people for a radio show. Unless it's my mom.
Oh.
My wife wanted me to call my mom and wish her a happy birthday.
Why don't you text your mom and tell her to call in? Because Vaslav said he loves it when it becomes a family show.
I don't know. I feel like that's bad decorum, too. You don't call your mom on your radio show.
There's radio shows that call people.
The person you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Hello. See, I'd love to call Fed goons and status people and bureaucrats right now, but it's Sunday, so none of them are working.
They're listening. If you're a Fed goon and you're listening, call in. The weird thing is we have more people listening right now than we've ever had, but there's like nobody calling in. It's just all government monitors, I think.
They just want to hear us talk. They want to hear the worms squirm.
The worms squirms. Squirm.
Squirms. Yeah, I'm changing it now. It is now officially squirms in my mind.
So did you see that headline? Egypt plans farewell intercourse law so husbands can have sex with dead wives up to 6 hours after they pass.
I saw it, but the article debunks it. I mean, it's kind of disingenuous because that's the headline. But if you read like past the third paragraph, I guess they're denying it, saying it is just nonsense that somebody put out there to be a meme. I can see that happening. I mean,
I believed it.
Yeah, see,
there's so much tyranny. I don't have time to read it all. I just skim headlines. And actually, I posted that on Facebook, and a bunch of people responded to it, I guess, without reading it, including Gerald Gay. He said, cool, and he's being sarcastic. Then I thought about saying, so you're going to pass a law to outlaw this in Wyoming?
Yeah, it's all a part of that scary Sharia. Don't let the Muslims come here and have sex with dead people.
I don't think it is part of Sharia. I think that most Muslims would be really offended by that idea.
Yeah, yeah. And that's basically what the article goes on to say is people were like, this is obviously not allowable in Islam. We wouldn't do this. I also think that, you know, I don't think you need a law for it, but if your wife in her will for some reason said, you may use my body in any way you please until I'm in the ground, more power to it, right? I mean, if that's your wife's last will and testament. I can't see it ever happening. Maybe in some cases.
Yeah.
Maybe with Pamela Anderson or something, but...
Why? Because she's old?
Because she's a slut.
Bomb. Here's one from your notes from a year ago, I think. Three ordered to quit after body found in pool went undetected for days.
There you go. A tyranny last year.
Tyranny last year.
I remember that story. Yeah, there was a dead body floating. It was a dead body, right? Just floating in a pool.
Yep. In a public pool.
Yep. Yep.
In Massachusetts.
Bureaucrats too busy talking about dating each other to actually give a crap.
So you had something that was not tyrannical. I said during the break, I'm sick of making fun of the government. That's what we do all the time. Do something else. And you had an idea. It involves hawkish.
It's a slight deviation.
The Everhawk. Yeah.
Slight deviation, but it's still a journalist attacking Everhawk Marco Rubio, but it goes beyond this, and that's why I think I brought it up as something that was, you know, outside of the normal, say what the government's doing bad and make fun of it, especially because the guy who wrote this, you know, he's not a known libertarian. I'm not sure what his political beliefs are, but he's writing this as a, you know, as a reporter for the mainstream media. But I still thought it was a great liberty quote. And from time to time, we like to tell you about, you know, great things said in the advancements of liberty. And I felt like this was one of them. A guy named Tim Stanley, reporter for The Telegraph, maybe it was even an opinion piece. Yeah, I think it was an editorial. had an article about Marco Rubio's warmongering speech, which that speech must have made a big splash because I've seen lots of opinion pieces about it. He must be the guy set up to be the VP, and this is people sort of vetting him. But the last paragraph in the article was this. The Earth is not divided between good and evil, as Rubio seems to suggest. Rather, it is an amoral mess governed by flawed souls, many of them found within the U.S. State Department. People have tried to bring order to the world before, and they've all failed. So will Marco Rubio.
That sounds kind of anarchist.
Sounds pretty anarchist. He's basically saying there that you can't give flawed people, which people are inherently flawed. Nobody knows everything. It's impossible to know everything that's going on every time. So you can't make a decision. You can't predict the future for everybody else in the system. That's how you have systemic problems that cause everybody to suffer. And so he's saying, you know, Rubio's whole speech there was basically about how, where would the world be without Americans pursuing order in the world? And this argument says basically, you're never going to get there. If you're actively seeking to impose order on the world, you're going to fail. Order comes naturally. You got to let it be, people.
Worms. You got a phone number there to give out, Nima?
Yeah, let's give out that phone number. Call us up. It's 307-215-5171. Freedom Fiends Live.
Tired of that same old government-free baklava from Mandrick?
Yes.
How about trying steak?
307-215-5171. Go ahead and give us a call. Chat about tyranny, the state, statists, worms, whatever you want to talk about, or squirms.
Or good stuff, or stuff that makes you happy. You know, because I like to talk about, like, in LibHair, if we didn't have to deal with all this crap, what would we talk about? Call in and tell us about that.
Any LibHair fantasies you've been having lately?
We have a call.
We have a call. Awesome.
You're on the air, caller. Who are you?
I'm Trollis from Saskatchewan.
Hi, Trollis. Oh, I think you made a donation to us. Is that you?
Yeah. I think that was a while ago, I guess. Yeah, that'd be me.
Thank you. No problem. Thank you very much. You're a internet smart guy, aren't you? You know about computers and stuff.
You know what? I know a little bit, but no. I just try to. I'm alive right now.
Yeah, you're live.
You're live.
Yeah.
Hey everybody.
Hey.
I would say I'm not a smart guy. You know, I try.
You're
to,
a humble guy, so that's good.
You market the idea of freedom engineering to smart people, to people that actually are smart and smarter than me, and, you know, get them involved, try to get them connected and stuff. And
freedom engineering? Did I hear you say freedom engineering? What's that?
Yeah. Well, freedomengineering.org, I guess you go to find out about it. But basically the premise or the idea is to, instead of using civil disobedience or voting or, you know, fighting for one's freedom, that freedom can be built, like it's just like any other product. And I guess a freedom engineer would be one who looks at the, ways to create freedom for other people, I guess.
Yeah, I looked at your website. It looks cool. Freedom engineering.
So it's kind of like how some people have, like, interior designers or life consultants. This would be something similar to that, but instead the goal is to increase the amount of freedom you enjoy in your life. Is that kind of what we're talking about?
Yeah. So far, it's, you know, worked better in fiction. In the mediocre science fiction book I wrote, it worked good there, but to try to make it work in real life is the problem. But yeah, I called to talk about was looking up my own life. I have a pretty normal life. Like, I make a living as a farmer, not as a freedom engineer, and but it's, I don't know if you guys have the same problem. Like, you have not sure what you guys do day job. I guess Neem is a journalist, and Michael, I'm not sure what you do. But anyway, but most people who are, you know, anarcho-capitalists, libertarians, whatever, they have day jobs, and, you know, I don't know what percentage, but I'd say quite a few of us probably have work at something that might be not their definite purpose, you know what I mean? Whereas, yeah, you know, freedom is our definite purpose, and it would be really nice, to be able to get them totally in line, like find a way to make money that is, to make a living, right, that you can...
Yeah.
Create freedom at the same time.
Like, I think that's a great idea. Exactly. I was going to say, I just think that's a great idea, and that is the ultimate goal. I mean, that's kind of like some people, you know, say, well, I want to have it all, and I feel like when you're a libertarian, that's what it means. It means you want to be able to promote freedom, live free, and still make money. Have that be your day job. You know, have freedom be your day job, and educating people about freedom be your day job, or even just, you know, sell something to people that's completely aggression-free and have that be your day job. So yeah, I definitely think that's awesome. Yeah. I seem to recall Troy, this I almost remember there was a guy from Canada once after I did the I Own Me music video that called me and PayPal'd me $50. That was you? Okay. Yeah, I had started to write you a theme song, right? You were gonna make a movie out of that fiction. Was
I do still want a theme song though, because we're working on doing a kind of a nonfiction interview series show on people that are really doing different projects and stuff. But yeah, I'll maybe email you about that. That's cool that you worked on it a bit.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I did work on it. I came up with a somewhat catchy chorus. I didn't go too far with it, but I had the basics of it down. I could just flesh that out for you, and that'd be pretty awesome.
Awesome. Troilus, sure. what's your website? Not. What's your website again?
Well, the it's freedomengineering.org, and then the book, the mediocre, I really mean mediocre science fiction book, can be, it's on freedomengineering.info.
But okay, I'll link those.
I didn't
I'll link
really
the...
call for free plugs. Hey, speaking of plugs, do you guys do you sell advertising space, or you just kind
Yeah,
of...
we do. We do.
Oh, you do? Okay. Okay.
Yep, we do, okay. And you can write us after the show, or you can stay on during the break, and we'll chat about it. Is your web is freedomengineering.org connected with Doug Casey? I saw something about him on there.
Oh no, that's just a banner ad for Doug. Not connected with him. No, but he is probably top of my list as far as people I try to identify with, like
he's funny.
Follow, but you know,
I like his whole thing. He's done really well. What has he sold, gold or given financial advice or both?
I think it's more investing advice. Well, he has the Casey Report. Isn't that what he does?
Yeah.
Casey Report, International Speculator is what he started with. And you know, this from, he's the first guy I read, like realized, oh, I'm an anarchist. This guy says he's an anarchist, and I realize, oh, I'm an anarchist too. But he likes to say, you know, he's both an atheist and an anarchist, and he uses that word, and I know some people don't like to use that word, but he likes to be iconoclastic, and like he says, hit people over the head with 2x4.
I think if you're rich, it's easier to
conversation.
Get, if you're rich, it's easier to get away with saying you're an anarchist.
yeah, that could be.
Yep, he's a funny guy, man. There's a great video of him on YouTube talking. He's smoking a cigarette and talking about smoking bans. It's pretty funny. I like it.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the in your science fiction? I've been reading a lot of anarchist and libertarian science fiction lately, and. In your book, what's your sort of favorite idea that you thought of, I guess, as far as how society would work or how it would be better? Do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'd say basically how it ends.
Sorry to spring that on you right before the break. We'll come back to you after the break. We've actually got a hard break here, but I'd really like to hear your answer. And that was not an intentional cliffhanger, audience. That was an accident. So come to us after the break, and we'll finish up here.
Words. Feelings. Life.
Yeah.
All right. We're out. We can still talk
Since
to you
its
on...
Since formation in 1996.
Cool. Yeah, my wife, when we got the donation from you, I mentioned it to my wife because the name sounded Greek and she's a big fan of Greek mythology and of Shakespeare. And she was like, oh, that's blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, okay. It's all Greek to me. I didn't know.
Pun. try this. Before the break, I was asking you because I've been reading a lot of libertarian fiction, mostly
L. Neil Smith.
L. Neil Smith graphic
and
novels.
Heinlein,
but,
and Heinlein. Heinlein.
I haven't been reading a lot of Heinlein lately, but I do love Heinlein. So I was asking you.
And you read Moulin Labe, which is the Wyoming libertarian fiction.
Right, right. So I'm a big fan, and just wondering what are some of the, or, you know, at least one of the ideas that you thought was really cool that things would work in. I don't know if it's in the future. I haven't read the book, but in sort of a different world where we have freedom.
Right. Well, the struggle, I guess, is, you know, the same is in reality between, you know, the authoritarians and the people that want freedom. And basically how the freedom side ends up winning is they have the best technology. And basically, you know, they have the, you know, they go through the society goes through the financial crisis and the United States breaks up and there's a lot of chaos and stuff in the kind of the backstory to where we start the story in 2012, basically. Then there's a wave the Chinese have a big empire based on technology also, and they have like the killbots they're called, and they almost take over the whole earth and that. But then the people that want freedom, they take over with the better technology, and that's called the dragonfly, which basically the dragonfly is the ultimate weapon for a libertarian, because you don't kill anybody with it, or you don't have to. You can just basically it's a little microscopic robot that can robot that flies and can go into a person's brain and produce a drug with the material that's there, produces a drug and puts them to sleep instantly. And so it, immobilize anybody that's aggressing against you.
You ever read The Weapon Shops of Ishar from 1951 by Voigt?
No, I haven't.
It sounds a little similar. It's not a good book. My wife reads tons of science fiction and, I don't read a lot, but I'll read something that piques my interest. And I bought this book because of the description of it. It was basically, kind of a similar idea of the people into freedom have the better technology. And some of it involved guns that can only be used in self-defense somehow. And we got the book.
Cool.
It's not a very good book, but it did have an interesting plot line to it.
I do like the concept, though, and that's really important to remember, is that statism and tyranny, authoritarianism, it does hinder technology in that sense, that the state only gets the technology it commissions or that it wants. The establishment will only let things exist that it believes are okay to exist. So in a world or in a region where you have freedom in those kinds of aspects, you're going to have technology that's a lot more creative. There'll be people and producers out there that come up with ideas that maybe would have been thought of in a state of society, but wouldn't have been able to be produced. So is that kind of where it goes?
Yeah, and actually the technology like the Dragonfly, and there's a bunch of other technologies that are created, but it's done underground in the books, in this fantasy, science fiction fantasy. It's done underground in this old decommissioned mine in Saskatchewan, in northern Saskatchewan, and it's called Subterranea, which is kind of a, anyway, it's a place where a bunch of technological loving people go, and they create all this this tech underground, because, you know, they couldn't do it in the society that exists.
Right, because, right. You know, that's a nice...
Et cetera, et cetera.
For people that don't know, Saskatchewan's kind of the Wyoming of Canada. It's above Montana. And I do remember hearing that it was the province that had the least compliance when they tried to make everyone register their long guns.
Yeah, Western Canada, you know, Alberta, Saskatchewan, there's a lot of firearms. I actually have a couple under my seat in my truck right now. But what was I going to say? Oh yeah, but yeah, Saskatchewan. It's kind of, I guess, becoming more conservative. But unfortunately, it's been known as the socialist kind of hub of Canada. It's like home to. Unfortunately, it's this where universal healthcare was created, and Tommy Douglas brought that to Saskatchewan, which brought it to Canada, and then now it's, you know, going your way, but. But,
Thank you.
So it's not great. It's not a great. Yeah, you're welcome. It's not a great place, but you know I know
you have a town there called Moose Jaw, and I think that's pretty hip. That sounds very Wyoming. Yeah, sounds very Wyoming. You know, I'm intrigued by the idea of the liberty coming from the advanced technology. And I think that is happening in an extent. In software and in internet technology, it's really hard for people working out of their bedrooms to build the hardware that can change the world, because it requires factories to produce it. But I really think that with software and with computers, you know, the internet has given the leg up to, I mean, we're doing a worldwide radio show from our bedrooms with a couple $100 worth of equipment and some free software here. So, you know, I mean, that's just one tiny example. You know, I would say that the people from Anonymous are a better example, although I think that they tend to be really collectivist and really almost socialist leaning, and they're trying to use technology to improve governments rather than to just eliminate them or make fun of them. Like we just make fun of them.
But at the same time, Anonymous is a really good proof of concept in that way, in the way that they use technology the way they do. I mean, a different type of group like that was more anarcho-capitalist could also exist and have the same type of successes. You know, they don't have to have the same motive, but the same methods.
The problem with the anarchists is they'd spend too much time arguing about the 0.001% they disagree on to get anything done. I'm kidding, but that's kind of been my experience on anarchist discussion boards. I don't spend much time on them.
I also really like the concept of, you know, where we can be free is sort of on these frontiers. Like in your book, you say it's in an abandoned mine underground, you know, subterranea. Is that what you called it?
Yeah.
And in a lot of science fiction.
Yeah. And Heinlein, nice. What did he say? I missed that. Say it again, please.
Also called hell.
The people that live there call it, they live in hell. Yeah. Which is a good place.
Nice.
That's anyway, funny.
Yeah. Right. From the Heinlein book, Job, when he got to heaven, he realized it was, just a bunch of bureaucracy and waiting in lines. It was horrible when he went to hell. Everybody was having fun. But anyway, go ahead with your point.
Well, you know, Heinlein, it's on the moon with Mulan Labe. It's rural Wyoming. And in Wyoming, in Mulan Labe, they actually get liberty by stealing the advanced technology. They steal a couple nukes and park them in D.C. But
here's one that I haven't seen yet, and that's not to say it doesn't exist, but what about Antarctica? I mean, that's a whole frickin' continent.
Good luck.
How
you'd spend so much time trying to survive that you wouldn't be able to thrive, man.
It's easier than the moon, right?
I suppose. Right? I mean, you can actually go there.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call, Troilus. We really appreciate it, man. Thanks for calling in. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Yep, I'll drop you an email today.
Cool.
Freedom Fiends Live.
Have you been
at
Worms?
Guess who's Bizak? It's the Freedom Fiends. That's right. All right, it's our last segment, so probably not going to give the number out. But if you already know it, I guess you could call us.
We'd love it if you called us. We'd love to go out with somebody.
You'd love to go out with somebody? You're married, Michael. How can you say such a thing?
We'd love to take someone out. There, is it better?
You know, out back?
Is it better if I say I'm going to kill them than if I'm going to love them? Who the hell
is calling
me? I don't
know, man.
I'm going to take this call from this telemarketer. That's how...
It's probably the NSA, man.
Hello? Who's this? Talk, Nima. Fill some space.
Talk? No, I was curious as to who's calling you, man.
It's an
That's
Autobot.
Freaking weird.
Listen. It's from Akron, Ohio.
I don't want to listen to no Autobot. Yeah, Akron, Ohio.
Make fun of Akron, Ohio.
There was one thing I wanted to talk about on the show that we did not get to yet. A guy named Rob Unz. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It's UNZ over at the American Conservative, which sounds like it wouldn't be a great mag, but it actually is. Justin Raimondo used to write for it. I don't know if he was one of the editors too, but it's actually a good magazine called American Conservative. Usually very anti-war in its sentiment, but this guy Ron Unz wrote this article basically about how much the media these days glorifies torture. And he makes the argument. Yeah, collect call. Anyway, Rob Unz, he makes the argument that no society in recorded history has ever been as willingly and overtly pro-torture as some of the American mainstream media these days. And by media, he means fiction, not necessarily news media.
You want to accept it? Go ahead.
He's and his Ohio, case though. Study is actually 24, which Ohio. I never watched, but I had some friends who watched, and I remember watching The Boondocks, and they had a sort of a funny takeoff on this, where the 24 character, his whole shtick is stomping people in the nuts. He's got like a special boot. It's like steel-toed or metal-soled or something, and he stomps quote-unquote terrorists in the nuts. And I never really watched an episode of 24. Have you, Michael?
Yeah. It did not grab me enough to watch
The article anymore. The article basically makes the point or seems to paint the picture that 24, the basic format of it is this guy goes around torturing people until he can stop a terrorist attack. Is that pretty much how it goes from what you've seen?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically glorifying it. The hero actually tortures people. And Unz makes the point that even in places where they do torture people or did in the past, like the Soviet Union or China, they would torture people and they were really horrible, but they would deny it to the worldwide media. They would say, no, we don't torture people. We have a very humanitarian process. You know, this is just the way it works and we're all on the up and up. But, you know, here in America, where we're supposed to be land of the free and this moral guiding light, as Mark Rubio would have you believe, we actually brag about torturing people in fiction and as well in, you know, I didn't see this in the Unz article, but, you know, obviously Dick Cheney is proud of his torture and waterboarding. Various neocon politicians at, like, town hall meetings, I've seen YouTubes where they say stuff like, yeah, I'm a neocon, I want to torture people, and people cheer for it. So what do you think about that, Michael? Do you remember, you're older than me, do you remember people being this pro-torture when you were younger?
No. I think part of, you know, we've said before and done whole episodes on how we think that Hollywood is now the... totally the arm for the state. I mean, every new show is about Fed goons of some capacity being the heroes, whether it's fiction or reality TV. I was thinking about why that is, and I was thinking about you talking about Jimmy Fallon having Obama on, and you know the roots should know better, but they were doing it anyway. And it's like people in Hollywood, even if they're celebrities, are really into other celebrities. You know, like chumming with them, palling with them, being seen with them, doing favors for them to get favors back. And there's really, for some sick reason, there is no bigger celebrity in the world than the president of the United States. So people want to be down with him. You know, they want to pose with him in a bar covered with graffiti.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and here's the thing too. The fact that it is in places like Hollywood, you know, this torture lust, I guess I would call it, I think that's more damaging to the society than it being said by politicians or on Fox News, because we're more of an entertainment-dominated society. You know, kids don't watch Fox News, but they will watch shows. You know, they will watch movies. They will watch things that indoctrinate them that way. And I think that's a broader spectrum of people they're reaching when Hollywood does something that's very statist or very aggressive or violent.
Where's the anarcho-capitalist Daily Show, you know?
Where's the anarcho-capitalist anything? I mean, where's the anarcho-capitalist fiction of any kind or sitcom? I mean,
well, apparently it's in the fiction's in Saskatchewan, and the Daily Show of it is for the Freedom Fiends.
It is great. I mean, we can listen to it, we can read it, but people want to watch things. You know, there's not a whole lot of at least fiction that's anarcho-capitalist or non-aggression or voluntarist that's visual these days. And I'd like to see that more so, and I'd like to see it accepted to where you could make enough money to have a network show or even a cable show.
And when Hollywood does take something and make it that's written by someone who's an anarchist or libertarian, they squeeze the anarchy and libertarianism out of it. I mean, you know, there was a movie made on a Heinlein book, Starship Troopers, but it really didn't have much to do with the book. It was the setting and the creatures, but that was it.
Well, I feel like even the Hunger Games, when I read it, you know, so much of it was Katniss's internal dialogue, which was very anti-state, and her one of her love interests, Gail, who was yelling about this, how evil the government was, the capital they call it, which was basically in essence the state, and how bad the peacekeepers were and how evil they were, which was great. But in the movie, it's, you know, basically just battle royale. It's about the actual Hunger Games rather than the evil.
And you know,
of the state.
That probably wasn't even a conscious, like, oh, this is dangerous, we need to take it out. They probably, you know, invited a bunch of teenagers from Encino to come in and get a free lunch and $40 to listen to some ideas. And since they're raised in public schools, they probably didn't relate to the anti-state stuff very much. They're probably like, oh, that's new and frightening. We don't want that.
It's possible. And I remember being fresh out of high school, or even when I was in high school. That's obviously when I was the most brainwashed, the most statist. You know, it took me years after leaving public school.
And they do use focus groups now in Hollywood for blockbuster stuff from like before the script is even written. They used to do it with, you know, they'd film the whole movie and write two alternate endings and then show them to the audiences. But it costs a lot of money to do that. It's a lot cheaper to make cuts before you even start writing the script.
Yeah, totally. Because it's so much money to actually put stuff on film, or I guess these days on a hard drive.
Whereas to put it on paper, drive. To put it on paper, it's free, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, just, in essence. You
know. Well, it is relatively because Hollywood script writers are hired for the project, you know, for the year or for 2 years. And that pretty much includes, you know, they're paid a lot of money, but it includes pretty much unlimited revisions. So it is pretty much free to write two different endings or write two different versions of it or have different things on a few pages at the beginning and run them by some kids.
Yeah, I could see that. I just really like to see, since we've been talking about libertarian or anarchist fiction so much, I just really love to see, you know, The Moon is a Harsh Mistress on film.
Have you seen Silver Circle movie, or do you know about that?
I don't think it's out yet. I watched the trailer the other day, and it was good. I like the concept. I like the idea that, yeah, we don't have a billion-dollar budget, but we have some people who are good at computer animation, so we won't need to worry about, you know, paying a bunch of money for special effects. We can make the whole thing computer animated. So it looks like it's going to be pretty interesting.
It has a lot of friends on Facebook. I know that.
Yeah, and they pimp it on Free Talk Live, and I think they might have had the guys call in or as guests before.
Yeah, it has 14,000 friends on Facebook, and it's not even out
yet.
Yeah.
So I like the concept, but I'd really like to see some things that are really science fiction, you know, maybe set a few hundred years in the future. I know you like to see movies that are set in present time, but I think you could get away with it more if it was 200 years in the future.
You wouldn't have to have
a United States government in it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even really know what that is. What is it?
Entourage is a show that's really popular on HBO that's it's based on Mark Wahlberg and his buddies in Hollywood early on in his career. It's four guys that grew up together in Queens. One of them, and they're now in Hollywood, one of them is a big movie star. His younger brother is a struggling movie star. One of them is the big movie star's manager, and the other is kind of the guy that carries everyone's luggage around. And it's really funny. It's great. Let's see. Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which is out and doing well, has 142 friends on no, we got more than that on Facebook, but we don't have 14,000. I know that. So we're out, man. Want to say goodbye here?
Yeah, I'll say goodbye. Peace, love, and freedom.
Worms. Worms.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at